Reading from the Jiva Dharma, chapter 19, Pramaya, Abhideya. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksuran Militam Yena Kasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sun Falls, Stuyvesant Falls. I'm now up here, and hopefully I'll be up here for about a couple of weeks. I used to spend most of my time in America up here, but with going to Colombia and spending more time in New York. But it's nice to be up here, and of course, when you have your own place set up, it facilitates your research, your study, your spiritual practices, your health, et cetera. So we're studying Jiva Dharma, and I think we have a steady group here. Story of people coming to Krishna consciousness, the generation after Lord Chaitanya. According to who comes and what their particular conceptions of life, a different tattva or subject of Krishna consciousness is explained. So through the story, we do learn all the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, all the tattvas, and there's three main tattvas, Sambandha Gyan, again, which is basically metaphysics, a description of reality, and epistemology, the evidence, the method of knowing reality. And then there's Abhideya, the means of realizing reality. And then Piyojana, the result of realizing reality, which is Priti, or that wonderful feeling in the heart, favorable, wanting God to be pleased. Love, real love. The most intense love, the purest form of love, real love. So now we're up to the story, and I think we follow that pretty much to the end of not just someone coming to Krishna consciousness and being convinced of Krishna consciousness, but progressing in subjects, in understanding, to the perfection of Krishna consciousness. And the story, of course, is this Prajanath, his family is a little bit reserved for him coming to Krishna consciousness, and his family is a little bit resistant to him, very resistant, come to Krishna consciousness. And we saw one family member even was almost violently opposed. But somehow his uncle comes and he finds out his uncle's a Vaishnava, and they decide both to go to see his guru, Rajanath's guru. And Rajanath's uncle, Vijay, he asked a question that is the inspiration. The inspiration for explaining the Abhidhaya, the means to realize the absolute truth. And what is the inspiration? The inspiration is the prayojana, or the result, because you can't practice unless you have a goal. So generally, even though technically speaking, sambandha is described first, Abhidhaya is described next, and prayojana, or the goal, is described last, and that's the way it's done in the sandarbhas, that's the way it's done in the dashamula, the 10 root instructions, which Bhaktivinoda has written it here. Prayojana has to come first to some degree, because without a goal, you can't have a practice. And that's the definition of sadhana. Sadhana is how to engage the senses to achieve a goal. And that's why also in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, the prayojana is mentioned before the Abhidhaya. Prema is the prayojana. So yes, you know, okay, we understand love of Godhead is the goal. How do you attain it? And then Babaji Maharaj answers, the means by which prayojana is attained is you endeavor without karma and yet. And then the result will be, your endeavors will be without karma and jnana, and that's prema. When there's no personal desire, either for enjoyment or ending suffering, actually. When there's no personal desire, where everything is focused on the pleasure of your beloved, that's what we're all seeking. And that's what I love about this philosophy. It's very, very reasonable to understand that this must be the goal. The goal must be love. And what is love? It's free from karma again. You have no personal interest. And it's not just an intellectual thing. It's a feeling in the heart that inspires endeavors without selfishness. And it's such a pleasure that you'll be willing to undergo any difficulty to get it. Narayana Parasarve, Nakuta Sanya Bibhyati, Swagapavaga Narakeshu, Apitulya. You don't, one who loves God, Narayana Parayana, Nakuta Swagapavaga. He doesn't care. He just wants to please God. And then Vijay asks, then what are the intrinsic what are the characteristics, basically? And there's two types of characteristics: essential characteristics and refining characteristics. Sarupa Lakshanam is the essential characteristics, and Tattvastha Lakshanam is the refining characteristics. And so he explains the essential characteristics is you endeavor to please God out of a natural liking to do so. That's the essential characteristics. And the refining characteristics is that endeavor is without any other intrinsic desire, integral desire. There can be desires for self-preservation or just bodily needs. You go to the bathroom and you have a desire to go to the bathroom. It's not against bhakti. It's not a motive. There's without any other integral desires, motives, and not covered by karma or jnana. So he explains that. Now he describes what are the characteristics, and he describes there are six characteristics of pure devotional service: Kleshagni, Shubhada, Moksha Laguta, Krit Sadulaba, Sandandana Vaseshatma, Sri Krishna Karshani Chitta. She destroys all kinds of distress, she awards all kinds of good fortune, she makes the pleasure in personal liberation appear insignificant. She is rarely achieved. Her nature is imbued with the most intense and superlative pleasure. She is the sole means to attract Krishna. So now Vijay is going to ask one by one, okay, so how is bhakti, how does bhakti destroy distress? You've heard there's three types of distress, klesha, troubles. There is the sinful activity, the sinful desire, and the ignorance which is at the root cause, papa, bija, and avidya. And one is not inclined in heart. What is sin? Sin means, you know, not to want to be a devotee. You want to be a devotee. It's in your heart. So you're not inclined with a heart filled with bhakti. You don't have any inclination to do anything but that. So what's the question of papa sin and or papa bija? And when bhakti is in the heart, the jiva understands fully and relishes the concept that I am a servant of Krishna. I am a servant of Krishna. So what's the question of ignorance? You're feeling reality. You're embracing reality. And ignorance is basically caused by a desire not to be what we are. So when you have that desire to be what you are, you love Krishna, you want to be Krishna, and you identify with that. So he describes, it's a very beautiful summary. Then he asks, how is bhakti sudurlabha, shubhada? And remember, we'll just remember, it's just a very short summary. So Babaji says, in this world, all types of affection, all good qualities, and all different types of pleasure are considered auspiciousness. So he says, what is auspicious? Affection, good qualities, and pleasure. That's what's auspicious. Affection, good qualities, and pleasure. So one whose heart, pure bhakti is manifest, is endowed with four qualities. Humility, compassion, freedom from pride, and giving honor to others. So he has all good qualities. Right? Those are good qualities. You have pure bhakti in your heart. You're humble. You're humble. Because you're realizing God. And you're happy with that connection to something that is superior. And compassion, when you are feeling that love in your heart, then you naturally can feel compassion for those who don't have it. And when you don't have that love in your heart, you feel envy for those who have material things. When you don't have that in your heart, when your desire is to control and enjoy, then people who have more than that, then you envy them. But when you have bhakti in your heart, you naturally have compassion to those who are innocent. It's natural. And freedom from pride. Because you realize God. You're seeing God. You're feeling God. And therefore, with that understanding, you don't have any pride. There's already someone in the position of superiority and control. And giving honor to others. When you're humble and you're compassionate, your consciousness, you see through your own love. You see through your own love, you give honor to others. So, and when you have those qualities, then everyone is affectionate to you. So you have the good qualities, the affectionate comes, the affection comes. So good qualities, affection, all kinds of sadgunas are automatically manifest in the Shuddha Bhakta. And bhakti is capable of giving all kinds of pleasure. If one desires, she can give material enjoyment. happiness emerging into impersonal Brahman, all kinds of mystic powers, sense gratification. So bhakti can give you anything. So in all ways, bhakti is auspicious. Then Vijay, how does bhakti make even the pleasure of impersonal liberation seem insignificant? Moksha luguta krit, krit to do, luguta makes small, moksha. And Babaji says, even a little love for the Supreme, Bhagavad Rati has manifest in one heart, dharma, religion, art, the economic development, karma, sense gratification, moksha naturally appear insignificant. Shiva has given, Rupa has given some verse, I think it's in reference to this, that even if you multiply the happiness, you know, the happiness of material enjoyment is nothing compared to the happiness of liberation. And even if you multiply the happiness of liberation, Brahmanda, Brahmananda, by an unlimited number, it will not equal a drop of the happiness of devotional service. So bhakti, or that love, that we can't imagine what that is. And this has to be our goal, and this will inspire our practice. We can't imagine what that is. And why is it said that bhakti is rarely achieved, Sadulava? This matter should be understood carefully. Bhakti will remain elusive so long as one performs devotional service improperly, even if one engages in millions of different spiritual practices. Apart from that, Bhakti Devi satisfies the majority of people only with impersonal liberation. She does not give bhakti unless she sees the practitioner as highly qualified. These two reasons that bhakti is rarely achieved. Generally, the answer is, well, yes, even a long practice not done properly, not done with that attention and reverence and conception and idea and feeling that this is for Krishna. It's not just the practice. It's not just the activity that attracts Krishna. It's the heart that attracts Krishna. So you can practice for millions and millions of years without heart, then bhakti will not come. And then, because bhakti controls Krishna, he doesn't give it unless one is highly qualified. And what does that high qualification mean? The high qualification means that is that anyabhilashitashayam, that you this is at the stage of bhava, that it's very rare to attain, because unless you really want to serve Krishna, Krishna will not give that energy that controls him. The sun of cultivating jnana definitely leads one to liberation in the form of merging into the non-dual Brahman, which is the very form of nature, knowledge. It is also easy to get material sense gratification by performing pious deeds like yajna and other such activities. However, if one does not practice bhakti yoga, one cannot achieve bhakti to Sri Krishna, even by performing millions of spiritual practices. So what is this bhava? This bhava is the prema ankur. It's the seed of energy of God's internal potency. And love controls God. So he doesn't give that to one who doesn't have the desire to serve God and please God. Vijay, why has bhakti been described in the superlative form of bliss? Sandrandana visheshatma. Sandra means like a piece of metal. It's dense. You can't put anything through it. So the bliss of bhakti is very thick. It's very thick. Babaji, bhakti is eternal spiritual happiness, and that is why the performance of bhakti places one in an ocean of bliss. If one combines all the different types of worldly material pleasure, adds the pleasure of merging into Brahman, which is the negation of the world, and it multiplies it in all tens of millions of times, the resultant pleasure, still cannot compare to a single drop of the ocean of the bliss of devotional service. Material pleasures are utterly trivial, and the pleasure that appears by negating material pleasure, mukti, is very dry. Both these pleasures are different in nature from the bliss of the spiritual world. One cannot compare two things that are altogether different in character. Therefore, those who have developed some taste for the bliss of performing bhakti find the pleasure of merging into nirvishesh Brahman to be as insignificant as the water in a cow's footprint. Only those who have experienced this pleasure can understand that others cannot grasp or discuss it. So it's, there's a God, and God has pleasure, and his pleasure is love, and he enjoys it by putting it into our heart. What must that feel like? It's God's pleasure. God has unlimited power. What does God's pleasure feel like? And we share in it. Because the pleasure is love, and love is experienced as subject and object. God is the object of love. We experience it as the subject. We experience the same thing. So what is that pleasure like? It's indescribable. And Vijay, how does bhakti attract the all-attractive Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna Parshanit? Sri Krishna, together with all his loved ones, becomes forcibly attracted and controlled by a person within whose heart Bhakti Devi has appeared. Krishna can be controlled or attracted by any means. The nature of love is that it controls one. So if you experience love and you allow yourself to be experienced love, then you will want to so much deeply will want to serve those people who love you. And if you are not controlled by love, then what type of person are you? You're cold-hearted. So Krishna is controlled by this type of love, and that's his glory. That's the supremacy of personality, is that one is controlled by love. Vijay goes on, if bhakti is so sublimely potent, why do those who study many shastras not try to achieve her? Bhavati, bhakti and Sri Krishna are beyond all material boundaries, so human intelligence cannot reach them because it is gross and limited. How can one easily understand the essence of devotional service if he has... However, one can easily understand the essence of devotional service, bhakti tattva. He has developed even a slight taste by the influence of pious deeds that culminated in the past. No one but the most fortunate jiva can understand bhakti tattva. So understanding God is experiencing God. And you don't experience a person unless the person gives himself to you. Even we have that power of not being known. So what to speak of God? How can you know God? How can you know a person? A person is known in relationship. A person is not known by analysis. So that answers his question. And why does Vijay, why does not material logic carry no weight? Logic does not have the qualities necessary for understanding spiritual pleasures. It is said, Naisha, Tarkena, Matir, Apaniya. Prokayanaiva Sughanaya Preshta. My dear Nachiketa, it is not proper to use argument to destroy the wisdom of the absolute truth that you have received. Then it is said, Tarka Pratishthanat. Logic is useless for establishing any vastu, real substance, because what one person established by logic and argument, more expert logician will refute tomorrow. That is why it is said that logic carries no respect. All these statements of the Vedanta establish that logic cannot explain spirituality. I think that's the same point. The same point is that it's, you use your intelligence, but it's not your intelligence alone. It's your intelligence in the service of God. And then God reciprocates with the proper understanding. Knowing God is knowing a person. A person is not known by analysis. Is there any stage of bhakti between sadhana and prema bhakti? Babaji, yes, there are three stages of development of bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. Vajranath. Now, Vajranath somehow is asking the questions. We shifted here, Vijay. What are the characteristics of sadhana bhakti? Bhakti. Bhakti is one. The differences are between the different stages of development. As long as bhakti is performed by the conditioned jiva by means of his senses, it is called sadhana bhakti. Rajanath, you have explained that prema bhakti is an eternally perfect mood, nitya siddha bhav. So why is it necessary to practice in order to attain a sentiment that is eternally perfect? Babaji, nitya siddha bhav is not actually something to be gained from elsewhere. That is, it cannot be produced by sadhana. Sadhana is the name given to the practice of manifesting bhav in the heart. As long as it is not manifest in the heart due to being covered, one will have to perform sadhana. In reality, this bhav is nitya siddha, eternally present in the heart. Let me see his question again. Why it's necessary to practice. So it's saying it can't really be produced by practice. This practice gives the conception of achieving something that is not there. This is something more that's uncovered. So Prabhupada gives the example in that regard of the child walking. The walking capacity is there. The practice is walking. But the practice doesn't produce the walking. The practice, by practice, the walking capacity manifests. It's already there. So this is the distinction that he's saying. Sadhana generally has the thing to get you something that's not there. But this is more uncovering something that's there by actually doing it. Will you please explain this principle more elaborately? Babaji, certainly. Prema bhakti is nitya siddha, eternally perfect, because it is a manifestation of Bhagavan's eternal shakti, but it is not evident in the heart of the conditioned soul. Spiritual practices consist of the efforts of the body, mind, and speech to make it appear in the heart. As long as bhava is not actually attained during the period of sadhana, it is considered a sentiment that is achieved by practice. But its eternal perfection becomes evident as soon as it is manifest in the heart. So I think here the concept is it's something that's always there, and it's your nature to serve. And by that practice of serving God with your senses, then you may attract God's energy of love, which is the real way to serve God, is by love. But love is the energy of God. And that energy of God comes to your heart, and it awakens that spirit in your heart, kind of like watering on a seed. I don't think it's exactly watering on the seed. It's both something external and internal. So that's like water on a seed, then it begins to sprout. It begins to sprout. So that's one conception. But it's actually an energy that comes by one who's sincerely serving that makes one's mind that energy. One's mind becomes one with the energy of love. It's called tatatmaka, which means, just like you put an iron rod in fire, the iron rod becomes fire. So our minds become love. And then our heart, wanting to please Krishna, and that wanting, that desire to please Krishna becomes intensified more and more and more. and therefore able to offer that energy to Krishna in love, the energy of love. Vrajanath, will you please explain this principle more elaborately? Vrajanath, what is the distinguishing characteristic feature, distinguishing characteristic feature of sadhana? Babaji, sadhana bhakti is any method that trains the mind to become Krishna conscious. Any method that awakens the spirit of love in your heart is called sadhana. And how many kinds of sadhana bhakti are there? Babaji, there are two kinds, Vaidhi and Raghanuga. Rajanath, what is Vaidhi bhakti? The jiva's spiritual propensity is manifest in two ways. The regulations found in the codes of Shastra called Vidhi, and the inclination that has an origin in this Vidhi is called Vaidhi Pravritti, the tendency to follow Shastra. In other words, there's Shastra, and Shastra is the will of God, and therefore by following Shastra, you please God. So the inclination, spiritual propensity to follow Shastra for the pleasure of God. And therefore your actions and your endeavors and your feelings are based on what the Shastra says. And bhakti that is caused by the discipline of Shastra is called Vaidhi Bhakti because it has origin in Vaidhi Pravritti, the tendency to follow Shastra. I will inquire about the characteristics of Rag a little later. Now you will kindly describe the characteristics of Vidhi. The Shastras have described regulative duties called Vidhi and have prohibited certain forbidden activities, the shade. The prescribed duty, Vaidhi Dharma the Jiva, is to follow all the regulations and to avoid all the prohibited activities. Vrajanath, from your example, it seems as if Vaidhi consists of rules and regulations of all the Shastras. But the Jivas of Kali Yuga are weak and short-lived, so they cannot study the prescriptions and prohibitions of all the Shastras and then ascertain Vaidhi Dharma. So do the Shastras indicate how we can determine Vidhi, the shade, briefly and practically? So you say, you know, if that's it, there's so many prohibitions, there's so many rules, there's so many regulations. So do the Shastras determine how we can actually figure this out? Otherwise, how can we practice Vaidhi Bhakti? Because there's so many rules and regulations. So it's written in the Padma Purana, Babaji says, 42.103, and Narada Panchavatra, 42.23, Smartabhya Satatam Vishnur, Vismartabhyo Cha Tuchit, Sarve Vidhi Nishedha Stur, Etio Eva Kinkari, always remember Vishnu and never forget him. All the other prohibitions and recommendations are servitors of these two instructions. The purport is that the arrangement of all the various kinds of vidhi and the shade within the Shastras are based on these two sentences. Duty is ascertained to be that which makes one constantly remember Krishna, and forbidden activities are those that make one forget him. Remember Bhagavan Sri Vishnu constantly throughout your life. This is the basic prescription, vidhi, and the arrangements of vanashram and so on for the maintenance of jivas are subject to it. Never forget Krishna. This is nished, is the basic prohibition. Everything else, such as abandoning sinful activities, avoiding the tendency to divert one's attention from Krishna, Krishna Bhavukata, and atoning to sinful activities, all are subordinate to this basic vidhi, the shade. Therefore, all the rules and regulations described in Shastra are eternal servants of the rules to remember Krishna constantly and the prohibition is never to forget him. If one follows the regulation to remember Krishna is the fundamental principle, it follows that the regulation to remember Krishna is the fundamental principle amongst all the regulations of Vanashram and other institutions. Sri Chamasa Uvacha Mukha Bahuru Padevya Purushasyashramai Shaha Chidvaro Jagire Varna Gunai Vipra Deopatak Esham Purusham Sakshad Atma Prabhavam Ishvaram Nabajanti Abajanti Snanat Vashta Patantyada. Sri Chamasa said, the Brahmins came into existence from the mouth of the primordial Sri Vishnu, the Kshatriyas from his arms, the Vaishyas from his thighs, and the Shudras from his feet. These four Varnas were born along with their particular characteristics, as were the four specific ashrams. A person living amongst these Varnas and ashrams becomes intoxicated by his high social position Varna and spiritual position ashram, and fails to worship his Ishtadev. Let me read it again. The Brahmins come into existence from the mouth of the primordial Sri Vishnu, the Kshatriyas from his arms, the Vaishyas from his thighs, and the Sudras from his feet. These four Varnas were born along with their particular characteristics, as were the four specific ashrams. A person living amongst these Varnas and ashrams becomes intoxicated by his high social position Varna and spiritual position, and it fails to worship his Ishtadev. Bhagavan Sri Vishnu, or even disrespects him, such a person falls down from his position in the system of Varna and Ashram, loses all prestige and takes birth lower species. A little long, and I don't know if you could follow it, but basically what it's saying is everything comes from God and is meant for the service of God. So all the prescribed duties actually have no other purpose than to remember Krishna. And when you perform these prescribed duties and you don't remember Krishna and you don't worship Krishna, then they're actually useless. So he's just elaborating on that point that the real rule, there's so many prescribed duties, there's Varna and Ashram, the real rule. The essential rule is what brings you closer to God. Sabai Pumso Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Adoksaji Oitiki Apratiyata Yatma Supersedati. That Savai Pumso Paro Dharma, the supreme Dharma for everyone, is that which brings one closer to God and helps him remember Krishna. That's it. Brajanath, why doesn't everyone who follows the regulations of Vanashram practice Krishna Bhakti? Rupa Goswami explains that amongst those who follow the regulations of Shastra, only those who develop faith in Bhakti are eligible to engage in Bhakti. They are not attracted towards the regulations of material life, nor do they renounce material life. Rather, they follow the ways of ordinary civilized life to maintain their livelihood, at the same time practice the sadhana of Shuddha Bhakti with faith. A civilized jiva becomes qualified to engage in bhakti as a result of sukriti accumulated in the course of many lives. There are three types of such faithful persons: Kanishtha, neophyte; Madhyam, intermediate bhakta; and the Uttama, highly exalted bhakta. So why do they practice Krishna bhakti? Because they don't have that faith. And that's actually the culmination of Vanashram. It's all meant to make this shift in us of wanting to be who we are, which is a servant of God. And so it's not such a cheap or easy thing. And the devotee will follow Vanashram, but he'll do it to stabilize himself so he can practice sadhana bhakti. And so it's sukriti over many, many, many lifetimes. Bhakti prada sukriti. It's an inclination for God, an inclination for God. Till it comes to the point that we actually understand that our life is meant for God. It's not that God is meant for our life is meant for God. And when you understand that, you begin the practice of sadhana bhakti. And that means the conception that my activity should be for the pleasure of Krishna. So here, Krishna Adhikar is not, in this type of definition, is not such a small thing. It's the culmination of years and years and years and years of bhakti pradasu kriti. Vrajanath, it says in Bhagavad Gita that four kinds of people perform bhakti. Artha, those who are distressed, Jigyasu, the inquisitive, Atarthi, those who desire wealth, and Jnanis, those who are searching for knowledge. What kind of bhakti are they qualified for? So basically, this is how people come to bhakti. They come to bhakti. So in one sense, this is almost before Kanishtha Adhikari. It's before, because they're doing it with motive. When you come to bhakti, sadhana bhakti, it says, when you come to sadhana bhakti, then your motive is to please Krishna. You just may not yet have full faith and knowledge, but your motive is to please Krishna. So this is how people come to Krishna. They come for some motive, for some reason, but they become purified. Babaji, when they associate with saintly sadhus, their distress, their acquisitiveness, their desire for wealth, and desire for knowledge are removed, and they develop faith and unalloyed devotional service. Then they are immediately become qualified for engaging in bhakti. The prominent examples of this are Gajendra, Shonaka and other rishis, and Naimisharanya, Dhruva and the four Kumaras. So they come to this, and it gives different examples. The four Kumaras by knowledge, the rishis by curiosity. Dhruva Maharaj for material gain, and Gajendra for distress. Do the devotees attain liberation at all? There are five kinds of liberation. Salokya, to live on the same planet as Bhagavan. Sarishti, to have the same opulence as Bhagavan. Samipya, to have constant association with Bhagavan. And Sarupya, to attain bodily features similar to Bhagavan's. And Sayujya, to become one with Bhagavan. Bhaktas of Sri Krishna do not accept Sayujya Mukti at any cost. It is blatantly opposed to the principle of bhakti. Salokya, Sarishti, Samipya, and Sarupya are not fully opposed to bhakti, but they still retain some averse elements. And averse elements mean for myself. The bhaktas of Krishna completely reject these four types of liberation that are manifest in Narayana's abode. Sri Guru Charana Padma, Kevala Bhakti Sajna. It's only bhakti. And only bhakti means Braja Bhakti. This is only bhakti. There's no other conception mixed in of a personal desire. In some circumstances, these forms of liberation provide comforts and opulence, whereas in their mature stage, they guide one towards prema bhakti. If their ultimate result is only comfort and opulence, bhakti should simply reject them. What to speak of liberation? Even Narayana's prasad does not appeal to the unalloyed bhaktas of Krishna. Sri Narayana and Sri Krishna have the same fundamental form and nature from the viewpoint of Siddhanta. But from the viewpoint of rasa, Sri Krishna is super excellent, glorious, an eternal fact. Krishna's Akila Rasa Mrita Murthy. So, Krishna, it's the same person, but Krishna is that person more fully revealed in relationship. It's the same person, but Krishna, and therefore Krishna's glory is an eternal fact because he is the fullest manifestation of that absolute reality in love, which means in friendship. God is a friend. Narayan is not God as a friend. God is a lover. Narayan is not God as a lover. God is a child. Narayan is not God as a child. It's that one God that manifests fully. Babaji, the entire human race is qualified to attain it is only those who are born in Aryan families who follow the regulations of Varnashram eligible to engage in bhakti. Babaji, the entire human race is qualified to attain eligibility for bhakti. So are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Yeah, Gail, what's your question?
I have a couple questions, actually. Just now you said that Vraja Bhakti, which is the bhakti that you find in Vrindavan, has no other conception. There's no selfishness mixed in with their love. And therefore, you will only find such love in Vrindavan. But even to attain Vaikuntha planets, your love has to be pure. There's no selfishness there. So why did you characterize Vraja Bhakti like that, as if to say,
somehow or other, these are desires for liberation. The devotee has said they don't have a personal desire for liberation. And here it mentioned that it's not opposed to bhakti and that it can go to prema. It could go to full love of Godhead. But I was thinking more in the other thing. When it says kevala bhakti, is that not the selfish desire, but the obligation and duty in dealing with the superior that weakens love. That's more mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The obligation and duty that when you're dealing with the superior, it just somehow or other, it's still pure. It's still pure love, but somehow or other, it's not as forceful because there's an obligation and duty. So it's not raganuga. It's not ragatmaka. It's not spontaneous. It's not just from the heart. There's some consideration in that relationship, but it's within the realm of pure devotion. But here, somehow or other, there's five kinds of liberation. And it says the devotee, it's not opposed to bhakti, but there are still some adverse elements. I guess that's the point. It leads to the kind of Vraja Bhakti because there's some desire how one wants to serve Krishna. I said, it's kind of, I heard, like, if you're the associate of Krishna, it's, I have to think about that. But I was thinking more about the point of, in other words, I have the same question as you, and I have to think about it. But I was thinking of the point of the weakening of the love. But I think the point here and the question is that I have to think about, I'm going to write it down, is the five kinds of liberation don't seem to be pure devotional service. So then how can you attain Vaikuntha?
Yes.
Okay, you have it?
Yes.
Okay, I want to think about that. Gail, any other questions?
Yeah, actually, in the relationship between Varnashram Dharma and Bhakti Yoga, it was interesting. You were kind of trying to answer my question without my asking it, but I still need to follow up. Because I was wondering what that relationship really is. And I know you said that.
The relationship between what?
Varnashram, Dharma,
and Bhakti.
You said to stabilize yourself, you engage in Varnashram, but what does that mean, to stabilize yourself?
It means it makes you peaceful, because when you're in Varnashram, you're engaged according to your nature, and that makes you peaceful. And it also, the society is peaceful because people are qualified in different things. So it makes you, and mentally you become peaceful because you're satisfied to be in your, and physically you're peaceful because you're have a job automatically. You know, because you have a particular nature and qualification. The society is organized to reciprocate that way. So it's meant to make someone peaceful. For the higher, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, even went so far to say, without being mentally, socially, and physically peaceful, what's the question of pure devotional service? So it's meant to make you peaceful. Yeah.
And only to support devotional service, otherwise Varnashram is useless, isn't it?
Well, yeah. No, because as mentioned previously, even jnana and karma are a type of bhakti, because jnana, karma means to follow the rules of the shastra, which is God's will, and jnana means to give up the impulses which are adverse to God. So it may support various things that move one towards Krishna in that direction. But there's also verses that say also it's useless. Dharmasu nushtita pumsa viviksena katasya upadiye yadi ritim shrama evahi kevalam. Dharma that doesn't give you bhakti, an attraction for Krishna, is certainly useless on the ultimate platform.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Yes, Hare Bhav, Govardhan. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else say hello? Okay, then we'll end now. Vanchakopa Juga Sakita Sindhu.